We're up to Simin Shin. Shin Samach Ches. New Simin. Shin Samach Ches. Im Acha She Eruv. Niskalkel Eruv. After Eruv was made, the Eruv has been destroyed. Or disappeared, was diminished. So we see the different halachas. Let's right away jump into it. Eruv will be Achar Kach Niskalkel Eruv. We have a situation where everyone in the courtyard has contributed. Everyone has given their bread into one basket in order to allow them to carry from their homes to the courtyard. And then, before, we're going to see in the Mishnah Berurah, there are many interpretations. And the Dirshu on the side, he brings down many Mefarshim that disagree with the way the Mishnah Berurah interprets the halacha. The Mishnah Berurah is not interpreting on his own. He's selecting from a collection of the Mefarshim what the Mechaber meant. And he's giving his interpretation, he's telling us halacha, how we should interpret the words, but according to the Mishnah Berurah, it means before Shabbos began. The Erev has not yet been in effect even for one Shabbos. So one more time, Erevu, if they collect the bread, they join together in an Erev, Gesundheit, the Achar Kach Niskalkel Ho'erev, and before Shabbos begins, before the first Shabbos, the Erev has been Niskalka. Now, Niskalka can mean one of two things. Either it means that it disappears, there's nothing left, zero zilch, out the window. Someone by mistake threw it in the garbage. Or it can mean that it's now Pachus Mikashir. We need a certain minimum amount of bread, which we're going to learn in great detail very soon, what is the shear. But whatever the minimum amount of bread that is required is no longer present. It's half, it's a quarter, it's a fraction, it's a mashahu. So we have to fix the Erev. We have to once again, we have to add more bread to the Erev. So what are the rules? Uba, echad b'bnei hachotzer, lachazor ulasaknos. Some clever individual realizes before Shabbos begins the Erev is deficient and he wants to rectify it. Now there you can make the Erev with bread, the different types of bread. There is barley bread and there is wheat bread. So let's discuss the case where the bread was made from wheat bread, like today. It's just regular wheat. And now you want to add more bread to the Erev to be mashed on the shear. Imbol Arv Mimin Harishon Afilu Kala. Even if there's nothing left from the original Erev, Einoi Tzarch Lahodia. Even if you take bread, you go into their homes and you take bread from their homes without their knowledge. You go into their home and you take off their table without their knowledge a piece of bread for the Erev. It's okay. It's not gezel. It's understood that they would want this and it is okay. So let's review some of the details and read the Mishnah Berurah inside. What he's saying over here is two things. First of all, we have to know what type of min. We're dealing here, the Erev can be made from either wheat, barley, spelt, whatever. We have different rules, what type, and then there's spelt. There's certain types of breads which are acceptable. If the original Erev, let's say, was made from wheat, and now before Shabbos begins, we realize the Erev was thrown in the garbage, this person can go and collect bread from the three, let's say our example, there were three residents in this courtyard, take a loaf of bread off their table, even if they're not aware that he has taken, because they already gave their consent that they want to contribute to this Erev, and even though they thought they're finished, they already gave a loaf of bread, it's understood that they would give another loaf of bread when they realize that the Erev has been destroyed or lost. But you only can take, without their knowledge, the same type of min. If originally it was wheat, you only can take wheat, you're not allowed to take barley. Why? The Mishnah Berurah says, because you don't have, you're not certain that they would be willing to give barley. Wheat they were willing to give. For some reason, barley they may want to keep for themselves. They don't want to give that min for the Erev. That's what it says here. The imbol arv mi min acher, the end of the second line, but if you want to go and make them Erev from a different min, different type of bread, im kol harishon, so the rule is, if the original Erev no longer exists, and you have to start fresh, tzorich lohidi alohem im arv mishalohem, you're not allowed to just take bread from them unless, from without their knowledge, unless you tell them. But the im is shalom, but that's pashat. the Mishnah Berurah says, but if you are the sponsor, you are going to buy a box of matzah, and you're going to be the sponsor for everyone, then ain't it tzarich l'adim klo, you don't have to do any, you don't have to tell them all together, even though they may have originally given wheat. And now that original Erev disappeared, was thrown in the garbage by accident, and you have 5 minutes left until Shabbos. You buy a box of matzah, and the only matzah left in the store is barley matzah, if there does exist such a thing, and you it's okay, because they're not paying for it anyway. You're the one that's paying for it. You're the sponsor. So that's okay. The im loy kol harishon, let's say the original Erev did not completely disappear. We do have the Erev. It's just that it's pochus mikashir. Ela nismait. It's been diminished. Af al pi shem ariv mishalohem. Ein etzorech lohidiyam. Then you're just adding a little bit more to the mashlim, the shir. Then you don't have to tell them, even if you take from them a different min. You can take from them even though until now they've given wheat, and now you're just taking not like they're dealing flour. We had the other example where
corn.
What?
Corn.
Or anything which we have to have corn is valid for the if make corn muffins if it's valid. We had the Mishra, I don't remember the details.
Bread for corn.
They grain, yeah, but we had it has to be a halachic bread.
It's not the 5 grains.
Rice, we learn rice is okay, but even from the 5 grains, not all grains are permitted for the Erev. Erev had its own set of rules. Wheat, barley, and rice, but I think spelt not. Even though you make a hamotzi on spelt thing, we learn the Mishnah Berurah says that in time of Chazal, when halacha was established, it was not accepted as a regular bread, and it cannot be used for the Erev, even though spelt is one of the chamesh haminim, and you make a berachas hamotzi, but it's not good enough for the Erev. So here, if the Erev was just diminished, it's not completely absent, and you're going to them to add a little bit more, then you're allowed to take even without the knowledge, even from a different min. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah very quickly. Lachso l'saknoi. Ze Marius, the Mishnah Berurah right away says a very big chiddush. The Mishnah Berurah says, what's going on here? What's going on here in this halacha? We have a collection for the Erev. And now you realize something is wrong. And you're going to go make another collection. Only problem is the people who have originally given you are not home. But you have the keys to their home. And you're going to enter and you're going to take off their dining room table loaf of bread. So we have a set of rules. Can you do it? Can you not do it? What type of bread can you take off the dining room table? Only wheat? Can you take barley? All depends. This whole set of rules, when did this happen? So then the Mishnah Berurah says, Ze mayri b'shabos rishoin v'neskalkel koidem shnichnas ha-shabos. The reason why you're allowed to do this is because the Erev has not gone into effect even for the first Shabbos. The ilu niskalkel achar shekvar nichnas haShabbos. Why does am I forced to interpret the words of Mechaber in this fashion? Because if this Erev was in effect for at least one Shabbos, ein tzarch shem tigun l'Shabbos zo afilu kvar kolav neven l'gamri. Because that's what we're going to learn in a few moments, that once the Erev takes effect at bein hashmoshos, the Erev is dear bein hashmoshos, it's good. Done. It works. You're allowed to carry in the courtyard, even if later that evening or one moment after Shabbos begins, the Erev disappears. A child comes and consumes the entire thing. Once it's in effect, it's in effect. You must get to the critical moment in time called Bein Hashmoshes. So here, if we're going to make a new collection, obviously we're desperate to make the new collection before Bein Hashmoshes begins. Ul'inyin Shabbos Shenia. Let's say we've already gone through one Shabbos, and now in the middle of the week something happens to the Erev. We're up to the second Shabbos. Af the im kvar kol legamri tzarich l'arv mechadash. If ever, it goes without saying that if the Erev disappears entirely, there's nothing left, not even a mashu, you must make a new Erev. Haloy al kaponim bin nishtar afilu kol shu ein tzarich shom tikun. This is a halacha we're going to learn soon, a very important halacha, that if the Erev was in effect the first Shabbos, had the requisite shear, and then in the middle of the week, let's say half of the Erev disappeared, and we only have half the shear, it doesn't matter. L'chatchila, you can continue carrying on Shabbos in the courtyard as long as you have a small amount of bread left from the original Erev. It's good enough. Kevon the hoye shear Erev ben Hashmosh shel Shabbos Rishayna. K'moshe kasa b'sevdal d'mazed d'kama b'sev asif. And this sif that we're learning over here, it's going making a collection, min and not min. The imlay kala afri shem arib mishulchem elavade kidekos avnu. This whole halacha here, the niskalko kodem shenichnas haShabbos Rishayna. This whole halacha is only going where you're going in to steal some bread for the Erev is where it never even went into effect for a single Shabbos, because once it went to effect for a single Shabbos and you have a small amount of bread left over, you are in business forever. It's okay. And we're going to see those halachas very soon. Let's go to the next halacha, Beis, Sif Beis. Nitoisfu Diyori Mechatzer. Let's say new people move into the courtyard. We're going in a situation, not the way we did. We learned the bracha, we learned the halacha. The way we do today, of course, is you make, there's a sponsor. One person pays for the entire air of a box of matzah, which has enough bread for two meals. We'll learn this shiurim soon. It's about, basically, you have to have a whole box. You have to have, we'll see, well, the Dirisha tells us the exact number of matzahs. By the way, does anyone know how many matzahs come in a standard box? In terms of the machine matzahs. They don't have any idea? What?
Dozen,
yeah? There are 12 matzahs, so many? Chametz tikka matzah, Pesach tikka, whatever. Yeah, because
it's 16 ounces, while chametz is a 10 ounce box. So it's not the same.
Oh, Pesach has more, they have 16?
Yeah, so always have a pound.
That is the 16 ounce versus 11 ounce. Minute for
so how many matzahs in a 16 ounce box?
What a Pesach box.
It's a dozen.
Good. So that's what the Chazon Ish Shir is.
What?
The Chazon Ish Shir. The Dirish, he goes through the Shir, how many matzahs he need? We have the Shir Sud. So he comes out, according to the Chazon Ish, you need about, I think, 10 matzahs, he says. 10 matzahs. So you have 12 matzahs, so a box is enough. According to others, you need half of that. 5 matzahs is good enough. So if you have the 16 ounce box, so then you'll definitely have
You need for each person for 2 meals?
No, two meals for 1,000 people. Each person until 18 people, we'll see that until 18, everyone has to give the equivalent of a dried fig. Once you get to 18 people, a dried fig for multiplied by 18 equals mazon shtei sudos, equals enough kazesim for 2 meals. We'll see the numbers, and that's the max. Once you've achieved 18 dried figs, which is equivalent to enough bread for 2 meals, you don't need to go more than that. That is sufficient even for an entire city, for the entire New York City. That is enough for 3 million people. That would be enough, one box of matzah provided. But we're going to see some very interesting things. The Dirshu said, just tell you, just a little bit jumping ahead, is what the matzah has to be royal achil. People have to be willing to eat the matzah. So it has to have a hechsher everyone is happy with. And when you get to Pesach, it's very complicated because some people don't eat machine matzah. They just don't eat, they don't hold the machine matzah. I don't know why, whatever. They only want to eat hand matzah. And some people will not eat hand matzah. You only eat because they hold hand matzah. It's gomer. You go into the matzah baking factory, you see what goes on. They don't hold the hand matzah. They only want machine matzah. What about people who, this is only nogea before Pesach, it's not nogea, but after Pesach, you're making an air, let's say, in the summertime, in the bungalow colony, you buy a box, and it's not yoshan, it's chodash. Right? In the summertime, most products are still chodash. And there are people in your community, in your bungalow colony, that are makbir, hakpada gemur, and chutz yards only to eat chodash. So can this Erev work for them? Not so pashat. What?
Switch bungalow.
Instead of switching matzah, you switch. So it's not so simple. You think like Erev Chatzeres is so simple? It's not so simple. You have to really spatially satisfy all your customers, and you want to join everyone together. It's fascinating. B'diavad, it's okay, because B'diavad, since a lot of these things everyone recognizes only a chumrah to be machmir in most things, so. For the laws of Eruv Chatzeres, only with the Rabbanan, so you can be makel. Okay, we'll get to some of these things later on. But right now we have over here a halacha, and like we mentioned, the tradition, the way it was done was one person is a sponsor. Take back a batza matzah for the entire community. And we learned the bracha. What's the bracha? What's the nusach? That this matzah should join us all together. Everyone in the community should have a schus in this matzah. For everyone that lives here now, and the nusach we say, everyone that will join us. Anyone that will move into the community in the future, you basically make an Erev Chatzeres Bizman Hazeh once a year. Erev Pesach is when traditionally you renew the Erev Chatzeres. Anyone that will move into this community, whether a guest, whether a permanent resident, should also have a chusnis box of matzah. But that's only true and fine in the way it's done where one person is a sponsor. But the halacha, we learned the halacha is telling us the bare bone halacha where you have a community where people are, no one wants to be so generous to be a sponsor. Everyone actually contributes. You have a small little courtyard, there are three people, everyone gives the equivalent of a loaf of bread the size of a dried fig. And that's only good for the three people. But there's an apartment that's for sale. And during the year, it's inevitable someone's going to move into this apartment. And he has not contributed to the Erev. So that's what it says here. If new people move into the courtyard, if this person moves in, and his courtyard opens two ways, so he does not necessarily have to walk through your courtyard to get to the street. He could walk through the other courtyard. So it's not a given that he is part of your Eruv, he's part of your community. Then you must receive his consent, his will to join your Eruv. Now the Mishnah is going to tell us this according to a minority opinion that holds that you're not part of the Eruv unless you actively, you openly express your will to join there. We don't paskin like this, the Mishnah is going to tell us. We paskin that you can, you don't need a person's consent. You can be his sponsor even if he does not know that you're his sponsor. The Mechaber is telling us, no, if you want to join an Erev, can you imagine if you have a community of 1,000 people, every single one of those 1,000 people must say, yes, I want to be part of the, I want to be part of the Erev. It's complicated. The details of Kabbalah in Mishnah were inside base. This is not base. Ein tzorch lo hodia l'shalom im yisratzu d'mukmina aches kasei. You don't have, generally speaking, Generally speaking, this is hello. This is. Oh wait, I'm reading over here from. I'm jumping down now. I skipped those Mishnah Berurah. So I'm jumping now down to Halacha Beis. I read in the Mechaber. Now let's see Ches. Sifkan Ches. Nitosu Diyarin Shelo Hayu B'Shas Hanochas Eruv. So the rule is Tes Sifkan Tes Im Habayis Akdim Hakdama Ketzara. So this is the best part. These are the best parts of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah gives you little hakdamas and then tells you things. Those are always the most fun parts of the Mishnah. So here in the Mishnah, let me give you a little introduction to this se'if. Here we go. V'hu, the kaimalon, the ma'arvin eruv chatzer shaloi midas. You have to be aware. Basic law. You can make an eruv chatzer without informing the community. They don't have to know about it. The rav, Erev Pesach with the Shamas, they make the eruv chatzer. No one has to know. Private business. Why this zuchusu? It's a good thing for a person to be part of an eruv chatzeros and v'zochin la'adam shloim b'fanaf. When we come back, im yesh b'chatzer bayis habesuch l'shtei chatzeros. However, here's the catch: if there is a resident that opens to the courtyard, but he also does not have to go join this courtyard, because if he wants, he can exit to the Rish HaSaram through a back alley, a different courtyard. Ein me'arvin b'shviloi shloim midiyasa. D'shema ein ha'chafetz klal la'ari b'chatzah zo im anashim elu elu b'chatzah acheres. Unbelievable. The only time the Rav and the Shamas have the koyach to automatically, without knowledge of the recipients, to include them in the Erev, is where there's no way out. This is their only community. They live in this courtyard, and there's no other way for them to exit to the Rosh Hashanah other than walking through this courtyard. But if you have a person who has an option of going, leaving his home to the Rosh Hashanah through a back alley, it's not automatic. And when the Rav and the Shamas make the Ruvich HaTzeros Erev Pesach, those type of people are not automatically included unless you contact them or they contact you and make it known, yes, they want to join in this courtyard. Which then means another incredible chiddush, that if they did not come forward to request that they be part of this community, they are not allowed to carry from their homes to the courtyard on Shabbos. Even though the Rav and the Shamas made the Eruv Chatzeros on behalf of the entire community, it only works for the people that are locked in, not for the people that have an option to go another direction. And even though these people are very upset, what do you mean? I want to go take out my, I want to take my sitter, I want to go to this shul on Shabbos, it's in this courtyard, I don't want to go that way. Well, you had other options, and because you did not come forward and let it be known that you want to be part of this courtyard, it wasn't automatic. And you weren't there, we didn't know about you, and you didn't express your will, so too bad. We'll have to do it next Shabbos and make a new Erev and include you as well. The same applies to a person that has an option. If someone new moves in, and the person who moves in is new also has an option to go another direction, it's also automatic, it's not automatically included. When you make the nusach, anyone that will move in, right? You make the nusach, we're making the seraph for all of our residents, and anyone new that will move in to the community this year. That's only true for people that move in who are locked in. But anyone new who moves in that has an option of going the other direction, he has a house that has two openings, two different courtyards, he is not included in the nusach of anyone that will move into the community. He's not really 100% part of the community because he has other options. V'tzorich la'asos erev davka b'di osam, avol shle b'di osam lo. V'afilu ma'or v'ata mishalo. Even now, here he says an incredible chiddush. Even though I'm the sponsor, I want to be in that. It's an incredible chiddush. I'm the sponsor. I'm not asking them for anything. I'm the rabbi. I buy the box of matzah. I'm giving it to the shamus. I'm the sponsor. I'm not asking anyone for one penny. And I'm willing that the Erev should work for anyone, even people that have options, and anyone that moves in that has options. It doesn't work. That's the first opinion. Yeah?
Question. We learned before that they go around and collect from every participants.
Correct.
All of a sudden, the Rav can go out on his own and buy a box.
That's another option. We mentioned basically two options. Either everyone participates or the sponsor.
In other words, you don't.
Today we don't know.
Sponsor,
right. That's the way we do it today. Today it's unheard of. It's unheard of today to people to go because we live, because there are so many people. You're not going to have everyone. Today the way it's done is there's a sponsor for everyone. When do we deal with a situation where there's no sponsor? When you have three people, have a little courtyard, there are three people. Right, so you know, but even there, someone will move in. It's just not practical today to do this. But here we're discussing an entirely new idea. This is the first, we conclude the first opinion. The first, let's review this idea. It's an incredible chiddush. That if you want to be the sponsor, you're a nice guy. I'm the sponsor. And let's say you have a community of 100 people. I buy a box of matzah, and I give it to the shamus, to Zuzikui, to the mezakeh, everyone. Automatically, even the people that don't know about it, and even the people who move into the community in the middle of the year, they are automatically included in my Eruv Chatzeros. I have done it for them. Zochin la'adam shalufanav. But if there are any people who buy houses in this courtyard, in this community, and their house has a back exit, another direction, and that means they're not required to walk through the courtyard to go to the Rishus HaRabim, they are not automatically included in my Eruv Chatzeros, even if I want them to, unless they explicitly express their desire to be part of the courtyard.
Before
the first Shabbos. And that creates the problem. Let's say people that move in. Someone moves in during the year. I'm standing at Erev Pesach. Here's my box of matzah. Everyone here should be part of the community. Everyone. Even the people that are on the border that can have another axe. It doesn't help those people. And if someone new will move into those apartments during the year, they're not automatically included because they have not expressed their will to be part of this community. So if they want to carry from their homes to the courtyard, not allowed. Also,
I thought the lashon of the bracha.
Though that's what he's telling us now in this first opinion is only for people that are locked in, have no other way out.
No, I said all the future people.
Yeah, all the future people who have no other option.
Is that what the lashon is?
Well, that's what he's telling. That he doesn't say it explicitly, but he's telling us that's how it's interpreted. When the Erev works for anyone new who comes into this, anyone new that will move in, it only is working for people that are enclosed in this courtyard and have no other way of getting out into the Rishus Rabim other than walking through the courtyard. But if there is a person who buys a home and his home is on boundary of the courtyard, and he has a way to leave his home by going through a different courtyard, not through this courtyard, he is not automatically included in this Eruvi Chatzeros. And therefore he is not allowed to carry from his home into this courtyard. Unless before you make the Eruvi Chatzeros, he says he wants to be part. But then the Mishnah Berurah says, guess what? This is not the only opinion. He comes to save us. The Yesh Mikilin. There are those that are lenient. Sheyachol arv mishlo b'chol gavne. And obviously, this is how we paskin, that even though he has a way out, it doesn't matter if there's a sponsor, as today there always is for the box of matzah, he's also included. Even though he doesn't have to go through this courtyard, he has another way out. If I want him to be, he's also part of the courtyard, and therefore on Shabbos he can carry from his home to the courtyard. Period. The da'ot, you should also be aware. You should be with it. It's not so simple. Yeish poskim the sorry dafka im arv mishalo. This we have a halacha that you can make an erev the shloimi das, and it's a sechus. That's only if you're the sponsor. But the yeish poskim the sweet yuchal arv afilu mishalochem beloy diyasam the mistam mishratzim lezeh. Some hold that, and this goes back. We learn with the person's wife. With the person's wife, we learn yesterday. Some hold that you could that it's a good thing to be part of an erev, and even if you're not the sponsor, you're going to steal their bread. You're going to sneak into their kitchen and take a loaf of bread off their table, out of their bread basket. You could also do it, it's not gezel, because mistama, they would want to be part of the mitzvah of Eruv Chatzeros. Two different opinions, but everyone agrees it's a given that if you're not coming into their home to take away their bread, you're going to be the sponsor. Of course, you can do it without their will, without their consent. That's the basic halacha. Now let's go further. Let's now go to the next halacha gimel. Now we go to the shiurim. Back to the previous page. Kama hu shiur ha'erev. What is the shiur ha'erev b'tchilasa? When you make it for the very first time, what's the shiur? So b'zman sheheim shmoina asar oy pachos. When you have 18 people or less. 18 people, let's assume 18 families or less. The shiur is, let's say 18 people. Oy pachos shiuroi ki groi geres l'chol echad. Everyone must contribute a dried fig. Once we get to the number 18, afilu heim elef, even if there are 1,000, o yoiser or more, New York City, there are 3 million people, not necessarily Jews. There are three in Brooklyn. There are approximately 3 million people. Does that include the illegal aliens, the illegal residents? People off the books. It's not really known. It's not known. We don't really have a clear number of how many people actually really live in Brooklyn. That's a very problem. Rav Moshe's rule. The reason why Rav Moshe holds he can make an eruv in Brooklyn is because there are 3 million people that live in Brooklyn. That's not the only reason. But
say Brooklyn or Flatbush.
Flatbush is part of the larger Brooklyn area. I don't know the details, so don't call me on anything. I'm ignorant.
Because I thought the Shiloh was on Flatbush.
You can't separate Flatbush from the larger area. You can't make an Erev in a Rishus Harabim. The only way you can make an Erev in a Rishus Harabim is Delosos. You have to have a wall and doors. Which obviously we don't have, so fine. But in an area, if you have a real Rishus Harab and you want to be permitted to carry in that area, you have to completely close it off. You can't make it Seres HaPesach. You have to make is Flatbush part of the larger Rishus Harab? So you have to look at the contiguous areas, the whole population. You have to look at a map. I don't know anything. But the area in question requires 3 million people. And it's a very big problem if there really are 3 million people. They did a lot of studies. They tried very hard to figure out if there are 3 million people. It's very close. And you have to, I think, also take into consideration the people that are not on the books, are not registered in the census, and it's very complicated. All right.
Well, they know the census, those numbers are completely wrong.
That's the problem. But in halacha, are they completely wrong? Maybe they're not completely wrong. So why they? So why?
What people don't answer the bell? That they know those figures are wrong.
But they have approximations. I don't know. It's very complicated. It's a very big problem because that's one of the big questions. Do we really have in this questionable area 3 million people? So what I heard is that we don't. According to the numbers that we have, we don't. But the assumption is that when we include people that are not registered, then we do have much more than 3 million people. And it's therefore it's accepted as a given that we do have 3 million people. Again, what I'm saying could be totally nonsense. It's just things that I hear, you know, from things I've heard over the years. But I don't know anything about this. Well, let's go further. All you need is one box of matzah for an entire population, no matter how big it is. There's 18 dried figs, which is equivalent to 6 eggs. The Yeshem, some say, Shehem Kishmoine Beitzim, 8 eggs. Okay, let's see the Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll stop. Maybe we'll see the bottom. We'll run through its short Mishnah Berurah. Gimel, Yosef Katon Yud, Vimem Yosef, Reitzalaymar, the Shir Shmoine also Giroi Gorois, who Shir Hayoyser, that's the max. You don't need more than that. Shushir Shte Sudos, it's Shir of 2 meals, or the Shir Hazed Diafil Elef, or Mashakas of Shir, which Shte Sudos, or Tlemar, Shiurai Gamkain Shte Sudos, it's also Sushur, Shem Shkashir Shabetzim, which is, he writes it in Bikli Possum with its shell. The Yesham Sam says Shem Kashmoina Beitzim, Lachatil Nochon Lono Kain. The Mishmur says, Yeshvi Machmir, with the Eva Dai Kashir Shabetzim, Lachatil Yeshvi Noi to have 18. You should have eight eggs with the yeve die kishi shabes. Now let's see very quickly if we can see some of these measurements and the sign of the deer shoe. Okay, let me just see which part I want to do. Let's look at number 17. Okay, number 17 on the side. Okay, you see on the side, it's really later on, the Ramah. But let's just do now because he mentioned the shear. It's on the left side. On the left side, number 17. So he writes, the kamois hamatzois hanitzrochos le'erev kishabola or v'matzah mechuna. Machine matzah. We do today. That's what we do today. We use machine matzah, box of machine matzah. How many matzah do you need? What's the bottom line? 6 or 8 eggs. Kosav b'shi'urin shal Torah. It's a very famous sefer which goes through all of the shim shal Torah, all different opinions. Shal pi medidas hachazonish, yesh b'chatzi matzas mechuna kezayis matzah. Okay, so we need 8. 8 kezayisim. One matzah has 2 zayisim. One matzah, one machine matzah, achatzi matz mechuna kezayis matzah. It's one kezayis. And how we need? He says over here, we need how many beitzim? Goes by beitzim, eggs, not by kezayisim. And how big is a kezayis? A kezayis is half of a beitzah. So that would mean we need 8 matzos, right? Pretty much that's what it says. According to the Chazanish, the largest share. The Chazanish says, according to the Chazanish, one matzah, it's going to revise this, but one matzah is 2 kezayisim. A half of a machine matzah is equivalent to 1 kezayis. A kezayis is a half of a beitzah. It's assumed there are 2 zeisim in 1 beitzah. So that means 1 matzah is 1 beitzah, 1 egg. It's pretty big. Go from a bit egg, an egg to a matzah. But that's what it says. And how many beitzim do we need? According to the Mishnah Berurah, 8 beitzim. You need 8 matzahs. Let's read further. Then he writes over here is that you should know that's an old shear. It was revised. After many years, there was a reason. They did it again. The Chaznish, for whatever reason, they made a new calculation. What?
Revised measurements.
Revised measurements, and they turned out that they made it bigger. They required that it's 3/4. It's a little bit more than half a matzah. V'nisbarer shehashir yoyser gadol. You need a little bit more than a half a matzah. Not exactly half a mishim matzah, a little bit more. U'lechein roi lechol b'kazayis harisha. That's why it talks about b'kazayis harisha and shopesach. Shnei shlishi matzah. That's why you talk here. This is that three quarters of a mishim matzah is the biggest shear, is the chazanish shear for a kazayis. U'lefizeh shear kibetza ledas hachazoynish u'lechumra matzah is a matzah. The och lishmasha, because a beitzah is definitely a beitz, an egg is 2 kizesim. Again, there are 2 olives in the size of 1 egg. And if 1 beitzah is a little bit more than a half a matzah, that means that 1 beitzah is a little bit more than a complete matzah. V'nimsa shashir shnei beitzim, shashir sheish beitzim of 6 eggs. Mishnah Berurah is going to say that you have to have 8 eggs, not 6. But 6 beitzim, less a chazanish, who shemoyne matzos mechuna, is 8 matzos. The Ashir Teisha Beitzim, 9 eggs. The Mishnah Berurah says lechatchila you should go for 9 eggs. Who shteim eshe matzos? You want to be clear, 12 matzos. That's what comes out according to the Chazonish. So you're telling me that the kosher pesach matzos, the larger size has about 12 matzos. You need all 12 matzos to have mazon shtei sudos. Mazon shtei sudos is 9 eggs. Is 9 eggs, and you have to have 12. L'das ha-Mishnah Berurah, who mechza mizeh. The Mishnah Berurah has different shiurim, they're not here. It's half, 6 matzos. So you don't have the chazanish shiur, you can sell for half. 6 matzos is enough for Yeriv HaChatzeres. Ula Masef Midas V'shir Torah Kosav, Shematz Al-Pi Medidim V'Mudiyekes Shetzorech Shiur Godel Yoyser. So there are people that experimented with the calculation of the chazanish, and they're even more machmir than the chazanish. You thought the chazanish was so machmir? They feel that even more machmir than the chazanish. Well, the word of shir sheish beitzim less the chazanish who ke'eser matzos mechuna l'bishnabura shir who ke'chomech matzos mechuna. You have to have 5. That is 6. But we have 9. You're going to go to 13 or 14 or 7, 8. So there are people that even more machmer. You'll need like 13 or 14 matzahs. 13 or 14 matzahs to be mazon shtei sudos. That's the highest shear. Okay, we'll stop. I'll tell you a little joke. I mean, not really a joke. I was reading an article about the chazanish. A fascinating article. The whole story with chazanish. A person went to visit the chazanish. I just like this part of the story. And when the meeting was over, shloi kedar the chazanish. He escorted the person home for. Scored him out on the road because this person was a very chashuv. He did it in very bichas, whatever. He scored everyone, of course. I mean, halacha, you have to walk with the person dal ramas. But for this person, for whatever reason, the chazanish scored more than usual. So the person said to the chazanish, "You ready? Enough! You don't have to escort me. You were malaving me, even the chazanish shir." He was speaking to the chazanish. You yoitza feel the chazanish shir.